Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to study your word. Bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. You that have your Bibles, if you'll turn again to Romans, the book of Romans, we've finished finally the first chapter. We're in the condemnation, now part of it. This is a big study, the condemnation part. And as we brought out, it's in three different types of people that he addresses here. From 1:18 to the end of the first chapter is the immortal man. And then from the second verse we're in, from the first to the 16th chapter, this is a moral man. And then from 2:17 to the end of the second chapter is the religious man. And then, of course, he will, from the end to the third chapter, he will start with the faithfulness of God. And he will say that regardless of what you think of God and his promises, he's going to keep every one of his promises. God's faithful. He sent his son. He'll explain all that and how they were against the grace of God and the message. That's the truth there. Against Paul, they thought him a sinner because he was teaching grace, not keeping the law. So therefore, they labeled him a sinner. And then from 9, this is 3:9 to 20, is the condemnation. And of course, then he'll end it in Romans 3:9 there. He will put everybody under this condemnation that has never been born again, that never has the new heart. That's what he's saying. The new heart is being born again. And you can see by 9 there that he puts the Jew and Gentile together. There's no difference. They're both sinners. So you know why those Jews hated him after they read this. And then he goes to the heart. He goes to word and the deed, or the thought, the word, the deed there. You will get into that. And out of the heart is where man speaks. As in the Sunday schools this morning and also with Jesse, he was speaking about that we don't even know the wickedness of the heart. So that'll be the condemnation part. And then in 3:21, we will get into how God justified those three people that were sitting in that condemnation chair. He did it by sitting down in that chair himself. He had his son sit in that chair for you and take it all. And you'll never know. That's between God and him. Every bit of the condemnation fell on him. It says he was rich. You don't know how rich he was. He was equal with God. You'll never know that. And he became poor. He sat down in that chair for each and every one of us that will believe it. He sat there for you and took it all. And the poorness that he cried out you'll never know. So, that will be this condemnation part that we're in. Now, we went over the immortal man and what happened to man. He was the man, he might not have ever read the Bible. And this is what happened to him because of the things he did not want. He didn't want to worship God as God. He wanted to get rid of him altogether in his thoughts. And we read these terrible things that happened to him. And history has proved it. As Ty knows in his lesson this morning, as he was talking about Athens. And I put that percentage low, Ty. You know that. I said at least 75%. But history proves there was more. That they were either homosexuals or bisexuals. And we know all them weren't born that way. You do know that. So that's what happened to them. We brought out in that first, in verse 24, it was their body. Second, in 26, it was the affections or the soul. And then it was the mind in verse 28. We brought out how the devil, that's exactly how he destroyed the human race. That's how he went at Eve. First the body. Then the emotions and the five senses. And then the spirit. And he does not have access directly to the spirit as God does. He works from the outside in. God works from the inside, the spirit out. Because he is the great spirit. So they gave God up and he gave them up. And when God gives you up, you've got a description of what can happen to you. And you can fall just as low as anybody that you're reading about here when he gives you up. Now we're going to get into the moral man. And he judges according to another man. The Bible says they do err, judging a man against a man. You can't judge about what another person does if you're going to have this kind of judgment. You got to judge according to what God says about it, because he's the one that's going to be judging you. He isn't going to judge you. It'll tell you about what somebody else did. He's going to judge you according to what you did. In Kings, 2 Kings 5, we read about Naaman. See? It says many things about this guy. It says he was a great man. He was a humble man. He was a wonderful man. God had gave him many victories because he was a nice guy. And then it says, but he was a leper. That ruins the whole thing. And this is what we're reading about here. You're reading about a guy that his baptism, and he honestly tries to be fair with his boss, his neighbor, and everybody else. Does his best. But he's a leper. He's a sinner. And that's what we're going to read here. This is not talking about how a person is saved. This is talking about how a person is judged. He ends it with the immoral man that he knows. knows there's judgment coming. He's experienced enough. He says he isn't scared, or he is scared. Some of them are scared. But it doesn't change him. The fear doesn't change him. It says there in 20 that they're without excuse. And then it starts off on this immoral man and says he's without excuse. They're all going to be without excuse. The one because God gave him the intelligence and a conscience to know that there is a God and that he's a holy God and that he will judge sin. Regardless of whether he had ever heard one word of the Bible. And in this study, we'll find out that he will be judged according to that, as we'll find out down there in 12, 13, and 14. He's not going to be judged by turning down station after station that's trying to get you to give your heart to the Lord in America. He's not going to be judged like that, it says. It just says the Jew and the people that have sat there and said, I've heard enough of that over and over, get saved, and click, 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 click. He's the one that's going to be judged for hearing that. And he believes that he's going to get by because he's not as bad as this guy we first read about. He believes that he isn't sitting in that chair because he isn't as bad as this first person we read about. But we're going to read here that his heart is exactly the same as that other heart. He has got leprosy, but he has got it hid, and it's only ate off one of his toes. So he's not a leper, is he? Okay. Sure, he's a sinner, just like the other one. Now, 21, it says the foolish heart. And then their hearts were completely dishonored in 24. Notice hearts. And then notice 5, it's the impatient, it's a heart that will not repent. And it is one of the hardest hearts of this moral man. It's the heart. And then we go down to 15 and find out that there's a new birth there. And these people love God and don't feel the guilt of God because they got a new heart. See, he's getting to the heart. And then when he ends the religious man in 29, this is 2:29, he says circumcision is of the heart, cut off with Christ. It's a spirit, not in the spirit. It's a spiritual birth. You must be born of the Spirit. Ye must be born again. You have to have a new heart. So, it's a heart thing he's talking about here. So now, we'll get into the second chapter, keeping that in mind. How he lays this out so beautiful, doesn't he? Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, the judges. Notice his judgment is in condemnation. It isn't in love. This guy condemns everybody around him because he don't do what they do, he thinks. It isn't in love that this guy's judging. But he tells them, he says, you judge in condemnation, and that's how you'll be judged. See, he isn't this guy in the 8th chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation. He's a sinner, as it says, the whole thing, you read it, verse 2:12. as many have sinned. He's talking about a sinner here. Now, he does talk about here in this that we're having, that the Gentiles have been saved. They have a new heart. And then in 10, he does talk, verse 10 there, he's talking about somebody that's been saved. We'll get to that. But this is not as most ever legalists you'll meet, like the Sermon on the Mount. They'll try to prove by verse 7 especially that's how you can get eternal life, because they don't understand what he's saying there. Let's hope we do. Therefore, thou art excusable, O man, whosoever there are that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. Notice it's things, not thing. Every one of you got your own thing, haven't you? He's just doing his own thing. In other words, he's doing his own sin. That's what it means. You might not do somebody else's sin, but you're doing your sin. It doesn't say this person's doing your thing. They're doing their thing. Same things. That same is. It means not the exact thing, but sin. What God considers sin. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. This truth here is going to be the true way that God judges. Against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this old man? Notice the things is three times. What's your thing? And thinkest thou this old man that judgest them which do such things? And doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? And get that word not knowing. They don't know the goodness of God. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. This is the second way. Verse 2 is he's going to judge by truth. 6, he's going to judge by deeds. 11, he's going to judge that way, 12 that way, and 16 that way. No respect of persons, and by Paul's gospel. That's the way he's going to judge. And by his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Now this truth here is the way you get saved. See, they're not going to obey that truth. But obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of men that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But honor. Now this is the one that has got saved. He's did obeyed the truth. But glory, honor, and peace. We'll get back to that. But notice, the one that's in 7, there's no peace there. So you don't read the word peace. Glory and honor, sure. But no peace. See, what glory and honor a person would have if they never sin. Now, Jesus has got that glory and honor. And by the way, he's the only one that does. Mary hasn't got it. He's the only one that has that glory and that honor that He perfected the perfect human being. See? That's what He's telling this person. Oh, boy, will you be something if you can do it. Think of the glory you'd have if you never had sin, never yielded to it. And the glory, you know. That rich young ruler, well, Jesus said, told him that. But Jesus proved to him right away that he couldn't get past the first one. Now, this is Cain here. Genesis 4:7, this is what God tells Cain. He says, all right, if you do right, I'll accept you. God isn't going to put anybody in hell that never sins. Is He? But notice what they got to do. Continue. Continue in patience. Continue forever. Not yielding to that seed that's in you. Think of that. Of course He wouldn't. You wouldn't get... be born again. You'd never have this new heart. But He wouldn't kill you. But remember, there's never no peace attached to that. It's you patiently, continually trying to hold out to the end and deny that filthy heart that's in you. That's what it amounts to. And that's what Cain refused to do. He brought his works out of the cursed ground and said it wasn't a curse. And God said, all right, I'll accept you. And you have to think, Cain must have been a pretty good guy, or he'd have told him some of the stuff he'd been doing. But as soon as he showed that the blessing was going to go to those in Christ, and the headship and everything else, which he had being the oldest, he was wroth. Wroth. And he killed his brother. He did have that seed in him, didn't he? So here, that's what we have here. And notice 10, but glory, honor. The real glory. What a difference of glory. What kind of glory do you want? Of the new heart, the new man, and peace that comes along with that new heart when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for there is no respect of persons with God. Now there is respect if you brought that offering, He respected Abel's offering, didn't it? That's what we're told. He had respect to His offering. When we get over there in the last of the second and third, we're going to read the word profit. What profit is there? What advantage is there? Well, there's a lot of profit. And there's a lot of advantage, he's going to say. And how long is a business going to last if there's no profit? How long would your boss or you be in business if there's no profit? And yet you think God don't want a profit. That's what He's going to say. And He's going to say, they didn't give any profit. There was no fruit whatsoever in their life. The fruit of the Spirit, because they were dead to the Spirit. That Jesus, when He went to the fig tree, Israel had nothing but leaves or self-righteousness. So, this is talking about being born again. You can't live until you're alive. And what advantage have you got here in this meeting over these other people that are sitting under legality? You realize what advantage you have? You can be in the bride of Christ. Those people can't be in the bride of Christ. Legality is never going to produce one person that's in the bride of Christ, because they don't grow in grace. And they don't have that knowledge. So he's going to explain there's a lot of advantage. But God wants a prophet. He wants, since you have this advantage, he wants, when it's over with, for you to be his prophet. That's his prophet. When you're a full grown, complete, grown up in all things in Christ, that's his prophet. That's his satisfaction. That's how he'll get his satisfaction, is with you forever. That's how he dwells in you. He knows the beginning from the end always. But how he gets his is in you. And you want to deny him that, right? See? Talk about robbing God. Talk about stealing. Well, this Jew, well, notice the three things that Paul says to him is stealing, adultery, and not pushing heroin. I mean, wanting your granddaughter to be hooked on heroin, but you're a pusher of heroin. In other words, they were the ones that made the jewelry and all the idols. See? For other, the heathen. Sacrilege. The three things. Two of them money. That he'll charge them with. Well, I'm going to have to hurry, huh? For as many, there's no respect, this is another way, for as many that have sinned without law shall also perish. Get that word, perish. Always say, well, what's going to happen to the heathen? Well, right there. They're not going to be judged by clicking off somebody that was telling them to get saved for 20 years and laughing at them and getting harder and harder. They're not going to face that. They're just going to be judged when they were in their hut for stealing from one of their people, a sword, a spear, no telling what. And almost all kids start stealing right away, and they do too. Okay. And some of them worse than others. Some of them are murderers. But the Jew, he's going to be judged by conscience and the law. So, it isn't going to save them, is it? To have sin, and as many that have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Not the hearers of the law are just, but the doers of the law shall be justified, showing it at heart, to the Jew over in verse 28-29, he's saying, what's the difference? If you got a new heart, you love God, you're not under condemnation, and the judgment of sin and the penalty of sin, free, a new heart, what's the difference if you were baptized or not? Huh? That's what he's saying. What's the difference if you were circumcised or baptized if you're doing it? That wouldn't make any difference. The difference is, are you doing all this stuff? See, it's the heart. And it says, For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, never were given the law, do by nature the things, and this is a new nature, a new heart, contained in the laws, these having not the law, never did have the law, as Galatians 2:14 tells you too, are a law unto themselves. It's the nature of the Christ life in you. It just grows. You just live a life. You don't try to keep a law. You just live a life. If you walk in the Spirit, you do. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. When that person gets up out of that chair and gets over here in this justification chair that we'll get into, he knows it. Now some of them, because the fellowship, they break the fellowship. They don't walk in the Spirit. They feel worse than when they were in that chair. But it don't make any difference. They're not in that chair. See? That's what it says here. Their conscience, really, if they understood it, it's excusing them. The penalty and the guilt before God is gone once you have this new heart. So it says, therefore thou art an excusable old man, whoever ye are. You don't do the same things, but you do the thing, sin. And we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit any sin. Okay? You're a sinner. And the wage of sin is death. And thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them which do such thing, and you do the same, you sin. Just little sins. You know. I sure don't do what this guy over here did. What those people did. But you're not going to be judged according to another guy. You're going to be judged according to your sin, it says. Do such thing as you do the same, you sin. And he can't look upon sin in the least degree of allowance. He'll either take out his wrath, it says here, in the day of his wrath. When he's set in that chair for you, or he'll take it out on you. As Revelation goes through the wrath of God and the wrath of God, and finally the wrath has fully come. The wrath of God and the day of his wrath, and who can stop it? And despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Not knowest. You're not, you don't know the grace of God. You don't know the love of God. You're trying to do all this on your own. You understand nothing about the grace of God. You think you're going to, and you understand nothing about the judgment of God. You don't understand about his holiness, and you don't understand about his grace. None whatsoever. And there's a lot of these people around. You're around them every day. And they do. They despise people that say they're saved. I tell people, I'm going to heaven. Especially people that they don't know until it's over. Oh, you don't know that. I said, well, I do. And it really gets to them. You know that gets to them. I had a guy years ago, he come up to me and he says, you're going to get it. And I said, I know that was just you that said that, because the devil quit telling me that years ago. Oh, he walked away and he never said another word to me. You know, and I was telling him the truth. You know, the devil quit trying to tell me that years ago. Because this is true. And there's no way that I'm going to end up in hell. I'm as good as there. I'm sitting. I know I've made it out of that chair. I ain't going to say I'm completely done in this chair. But at least I know about that chair. And you know I do. Anyway, I'm talking about the sanctification chair now, for those that didn't understand that. But you see, the hardness of an end, see, he won't repent from his sin. This guy will not admit he's a sinner. Naaman didn't want to, finally, he knew he was a leper, but he didn't want to be cleansed the only way he could be cleansed. And that was to come up out of that water as a newborn baby. A new life. So, but he treasures up wrath against, and it's coming. Wrath, wrath, wrath. And he'll find out what the real righteousness and holiness of God was. And he didn't even get close to it. Nobody, as we'll read over here in a little bit. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. The deeds of his heart. When we get into the throat and the heart, he's going to end it with that evil, evil heart. Is how he's going to end it. And everybody's got it. I remember Sister Myers, and she'd get up and testify. And when she always testified, she'd say how bad she was and what the Lord had saved her from. And I was young, you know, and I listened to that, and I think, man, if she only knew me, she couldn't even say it. But you see, God, and I'd think, what would she think of me, you know? And I knew her, and she was a wonderful woman, you people that did. And you know what I'm talking about, how she'd do that. But to her, see, she knew her heart. God had revealed to her that she had the same heart as the worst person she'd ever heard about. But this guy, see, he's not going to repent. He's not going to admit that he's as bad as this guy over here that needs to be saved. He's like Cain. He's going to say, my parents didn't deserve to be kicked out. You see that? I wasn't born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But he went out. He never did repent. The only thing he said was, my punishment is more than I can bear. Just like Simon with Peter, pray that none of these things happen to me. You know, don't talk about me repenting. Don't talk about me getting saved. I just don't want the penalty part of it. Understand that. And that's what we have here. And that's what this guy is. But he tells him in 7, to them, okay, by patient continuance. Notice, it's a continued thing you'd have to do. If you were to get to heaven, we'll see later that your heart, your hope, you seek not God. You don't like, I'll just read it. I don't want to get way ahead. For it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh. They've all gone out of the way. They're all unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. The throat is an open sepulcher. It goes with their mouth, their heart. The mouth is full of cursing. And finally, what's in the heart, the feet do, and the hands kill. They murder, just like Cain did. But we'll find out that this heart that's in each and every one of us, we want to deny it. Each and every one of us has a denial to that part. But he will show that from that heart, unless it's a circumcised heart, born of the Spirit, there is no way that it would ever be happy in heaven. That's what he said. How would you like to get to heaven with that heart? Number one, there's none if this heart seek after God. The person wouldn't be seeking after God when they got there. Like I told my wife about a person. I said, if he ever got to heaven, first thing he'd do, you know, the Peter on the gate, he'd change Peter from that gate to John to the other gate. He'd start changing the whole thing. Because there'd be nothing in heaven that he wanted. He'd be like a fish out of water. You see that? And he would have to suppress that seed that we're going to read at the end that's in there. He'd have to suppress that. Well, nobody suppresses it. But he's just telling them, if you can do that, you won't be born again. You won't be a new creature in Christ. You'll always have to suppress that, and one day you will sin. And of course, he can let the devil at you in a few seconds, and you will. You know? If he really did open the gate, you'd find out how low he can take you. So, but he tells him, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. See, this guy isn't obeying the truth. Cain didn't obey the truth. He wasn't about to bring a blood offering that pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be accepted. He didn't deserve death. His parents didn't deserve death for that little thing. And Eve, what do you think she thought that night when she discovered that Cain had killed Abel? What would a mother be thinking of? Huh? You think she had a few tears in her eyes that night when she went to bed? Do you think she remembered what God said? Huh? Has God said, this is part of it? This is part of what I did? I caused that. I brought that. And they were just getting into it. Just getting into it. So, it says, but glory and honor. There'll be a glory and honor that'll out suppress that glory and honor, huh? What glory and honor? And peace to every man that worketh good. And that's where the working of the good is. You don't work no good. That guy ain't going to work no good. And there's where your good works come from, is a new heart. Jew first and also to the Gentile. There's no respect of persons with God. Of course, now he's talking about the sinner. And as many have sinned. Now see, he's talking about sinning. Without law shall perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law, notice all of them sin. All of them perish. It doesn't say that they'll get out of anything. They're all going to perish. If you're a sinner and you've never been saved, you never have been born again and a new heart, you're a sinner. And you're going to perish. And there's going to be degrees. Law shall be judged. For not the hearers of the law... For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. James tells us in 1:22, he that offendeth in one point, One sin is guilty of all. You're a sinner. You proved you were a sinner. If you looked like a dog and acted like a dog, one time you barked, they'd know you were a dog. If they didn't know it before then. See? And the Gentiles who by nature or the nature of the new birth, things contained in the law. Nobody loves the law until they're born again. You might endure. This guy, look at how he's trying to endure continually. Endure to the end. You've seen some of their faces, those legalists on TV. You can see they're enduring to the end. There's nothing in it that's life. Nothing. And they have not the law, but they got a new life, the life of Jesus Christ in them that loves the law, delights to do the law. That's what they have. Which show the works of the law in their hearts. They're born again, a new birth. It says that the law was given to Moses. John 1, I think it's, 14, somewhere in there. 1:14. Moses, he was just given the law. I could have been given the law. You could have been given the law. But truth, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not that the holiness of God, and that wasn't his law, but that sure wasn't the way to get a new heart, was it? The way to get a new heart was through grace, and Jesus was the true way. That's the true way. And having not the law, or law unto themselves, which show the work of the law in their hearts. It's a hard thing. They're conscious. You know what happened when you were saved. You know what happened when you gave your heart to the Lord. I was real young, but boy, my, what a relief. My conscience was, you know, I was happy for a few days. And then, you know, I thought, you know, I'm never going to sin again. But I did. And when I did that, I thought, you know, I thought that was all gone. I was just a kid, you know. I thought, man, that was all gone. But it wasn't all gone, but my guilt was really gone. And I'm a kind of person that, you know, you can't get me to be guilty. I just, you know, because I know the truth. You know, you just want to try that with somebody else. Don't try it with me. Because you can't put me under condemnation. Because he told me there's no condemnation from now on to you. And there isn't. Which show the works in their heart, their conscience, and their thoughts. I never had love thoughts. See, love thoughts toward the Lord until then. Meanwhile, excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now this guy that he, this immoral guy, Paul told you exactly how he was going to be judged, didn't he? Exactly. He's telling you exactly how this moral person is going to be judged. He's going to tell you how the religious, and then he'll go directly to the Jew. He goes right to him personally. And then he's going to get over in justification, and he's going to tell you that Jesus took all that judgment for you. And then he's going to get into the sanctification part, and he's going to tell you that you're being judged right now. for the responsibility that you and each one of you have personally and the way of victory to it. See, everybody's going to be judged by Paul's gospel. Even the ones that died before he ever wrote this. He lays out the exact way of judgment. So tonight we read the judgment of the guy that he's better than this other guy. He's morally good. But he's sitting in that chair. And he's going to be in the same cell as this other guy that he's looked down on all his life. The next time, Lord willing, we'll read about the guy, verse 17, that he rests in the law. Can you imagine resting in the law? Huh? Instead of resting in Jesus? What kind of guy is that? Many, they are a multitude. Let's stand.